Well, today, just in case you needed reminding, is Valentine's Day. And I can safely mention it because I have done okay this year. Liz did receive some red roses, and I'm hoping that you've all been treated wonderfully well by your loved ones. If nothing else, Valentine's Day reminds us of the power of relationship and the importance of love in our lives. Things which I think we've become ever more aware of as a result of COVID over this past year. I'm not sure that I've spent quite as much time as with my wife and children as I have done in the last 12 months or so. Now, don't get me wrong, mostly that's wonderful and a real privilege. But at times it also seems to bring out the worst side of my personality and character. We have just moved into our permanent new house here in Nottingham as a result of the move with my new job. And one of the things we needed to do was to get broadband fitted. It was my own fault, I guess. I hadn't realised quite how much notice I would need to give BT to get a slot for fibre to be connected up. I ordered it in early December. We moved in on the 21st of December, and I discovered to my horror that they could only give us an installation date right at the end of January. And then to compound my error, of course, the latest lockdown then happened. Three children trying to do homeschooling, my wife trying to teach from home, all of us needing broadband. It wasn't exactly ideal. And then it eventually came round to the scheduled setup date at the end of January, that I guess the day we'd all been waiting for, the day we were finally going to get on to the Wi-Fi. And then, of course, there was a problem. Issues with the cabling, which meant that it couldn't be fitted immediately and further work needed to be done, and there was going to be a further delay. Well, it was probably a good job that I didn't have my purple shirt and my collar on, that they didn't know I was a bishop. I'm not sure it was my finest hour. Now, whether it's the realisation of some of the less pleasant aspects of our character as we rub up against others, or the deep sense of isolation, loneliness and loss that many of us have experienced as a result of COVID and our inability to connect with people in normal ways over these past 12 months, relationships really matter. And Jesus has some very direct things to say here in Luke chapter 6 about the power of relationship. So first, our relationship should be marked by compassion. Verse 31 of chapter 6, do to others as you would have them do to you. One of the really fascinating impacts of COVID is that it has forced us to think and live and focus more locally. We've become ever more aware of our neighbours, our actual neighbours, the people we live alongside, our work colleagues, our family and friends. And it's become increasingly apparent that how we treat our neighbour matters. I heard a story the other day about a video clip of a mother and a child visiting Tesco. They'd finished their shopping as usual and they came out of the store. As they came out of the store, they took off their face masks. And walking towards the store at that very moment was an older man. And the mother and child looked at him and smiled at him. And the man stopped them and he said that he was isolated, that he wasn't really meeting anyone, and that he came to Tesco to see people. And the fact that they had smiled at him had made his day. As Jesus taught so famously, we're to love our neighbours as ourselves. We're to give people time, care and attention. We're to treat them with compassion. I have one friend, one of my friends from London, he's just really good at being in touch. He will regularly text me or send me a WhatsApp message or give me a call. And particularly now that we're not able to connect with people in the usual ways, that makes a huge difference. And it's something that I'm trying to get better at as well, to do to others as I would have them do to me. So first, our relationship should be marked by compassion. And secondly, our relationship should be marked by generosity. Verse 30 of chapter 6, give to everyone who asks you. One of the other positive aspects of COVID has been the way that communities have come together to serve those most in need. And often churches and Christians have been at the heart of this, providing food banks and practical help in all sorts of other ways. And yet often our own generosity can be somewhat limited. We don't always find it easy to give, especially our hard-earned money. Marcus Rashford has become very prominent in the UK in recent times, not just because he's been scoring huge numbers of goals for Manchester United, but because he's kept pushing the government, councils and businesses to be more generous to those in need with his hugely successful Free School Meals campaign. Jesus is clear about God's generosity to us. Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. And he's also very aware of the danger of wealth and resources, of how hard some of us can find it at times to give things away. Woe to you who are rich, for you have already received your comfort. Woe to you who are well fed now, for you will go hungry. Our temptation is always to store stuff up, to spend it on ourselves, to save it for a rainy day. And instead, Jesus says that we're to give to everyone who asks us. And if the local church is going to continue to be at the forefront of sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with the world, which is exactly what we're called to, then it needs to be financially resourced. So as well as supporting those that we're aware of who are in need, can I encourage us to give generously to our church families, whether that's ESC Verbier or elsewhere? So our relationships are to be marked by compassion, by generosity, and finally, our relationships are likely to be costly. Do to others as you would have them do to you. Give to those who ask you. And then perhaps one of the most challenging things in all of Scripture, verse 27 of chapter 6, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who ill treat you. Now, this revolutionary teaching is not about being a victim. It's not okay to be downtrodden or abused or mistreated. But it is about an attitude of heart that has the power to transform the world that we live in. The context is verse 22. Blessed are you when people hate you, exclude you, insult you, and reject you. Why do they do that? Well, because of the Son of Man. In other words, because of our commitment to Jesus Christ, because of our willingness to go the extra mile, people are not always going to understand our motives or our actions. If we're going to base our lives on following Jesus Christ, if we're going to put his words into action, then we're likely to face opposition. All of this is potentially going to be quite costly. To do good, to bless, to pray for, to love, means we need to be courageous. Now, of course, we're not able to do any of this by ourselves. It is only, as Paul reminds us so powerfully in Romans 8 and our other reading, that because God has given up everything for us, because God has given up everything for us, because nothing can separate us from the love of Christ, that means that we're able to put others before ourselves. We're able to act with compassion. We're able to be generous. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. It's only the foundation of our own relationship with Jesus Christ that enables us to put his words into practice in our lives and so invest in the power of relationship. Amen.
Amen.